All right. So I'm up here, right? Good morning, church. God bless you, Harley. He's trying to introduce me, but I'm just a guy. And I do have a wife of noble character and real cool kids. I'm blowing their cover here, their Harry Potter cover. They do have parents. I'm just a guy. I'm great by association because I know people who know people who are awesome, and I know Jesus. So my name's Scott DeVinny, and I am not Pastor Sean Hart. Pastor Sean, as you know, is on sabbatical till September, and I am bringing greetings from your sister church at Laurelwood Baptist. Just a special thank you from our family to yours. Our kids go to Hawkinson School District, and they've just found a great community here with your kids, with your youth group. So thank you from the bottom of our heart. So we'll be continuing our summer series, or your summer series, on spiritual disciplines this week. And this week, we are going to be talking about fasting, everyone's favorite spiritual discipline. We could be talking a whole lot about this. Like every spiritual discipline, there's a ton to say. We could be having a whole series on fasting, but we're not. It's just this week. Pastor Sean told me that I had limited time to share, only an hour and a half to talk. Did he say half an hour? Was it hour and a half or half an hour? Help me out, church. What? I'm trying to make sure y'all are awake. Is it half an hour? I'm going to go with the half an hour. I'll go with the 30 minutes. How about that? Okay, cool. So that is just going to allow me to just introduce this topic. So I will be sharing some high-level thoughts with you about what fasting is all about, why we should be fasting, and when to fast. And I can see some of you all are a little nervous. Maybe you're thinking about lunch after church and whether that might be in some kind of danger. And other people, you look excited to hear a fast sermon. Okay, well, before we dive in, something you need to know about me is I love to eat food, okay? I've heard people say God's not good or God's, out to get people, but you can bust that myth by eating food because food is so good. Food is good, and it's not just my opinion. Let's hear what God has to say about this. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? So if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So as we observe this passage, we can see that in Bible times, the teenage boys were always asking for food, just like today. We can also observe that bread and fish are good gifts, okay? You can write that down if you want. God said carbs are good, and this is from the very beginning. Even on the fifth day, God created the animals and livestock, and he said that they are good, okay? So that was a joke, but I got to say that every once in a while because I'm a dad of teenagers. And also just for the kids here, God did create the fruits and veggies first, and he said that they were also good. Okay, so the first takeaway from the sermon today, if I see you have notes, so if anyone's writing notes, your first point is food is good. We're going deep this morning, so I hope you can hang on with all this deep theology. But you should enjoy your meal after church. You should thank God for it. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, and food is a good gift. Yeah, alrighty. So what's fasting? Fasting is not eating food. We're not talking about like a diet here. We're talking about like not eating food like for God. So hold up. Like, food's good. It's a good gift. Like, we can eat food with thanksgiving in God's name. So what's up with, like, skipping on that? Why is that a thing in the Bible? Okay, let me just start with a story. about Laurelwood Baptist Church and about myself, and about the first time that I fasted for real, for purpose. So this was about 18 years ago, and I was the deacon of our missions team at Laurelwood. We support a bunch of missionaries, but it seemed kind of like a random collection of people, and we didn't have like a clear vision for missions that we could articulate on, like who we were supporting and why and how we just do that as a church. So the elders decided that we needed some help. So we brought in a consultant, and we kicked it all off with a big meeting with our consultant, and they had a cool PowerPoint presentation with handouts and a whole plan where we were going to have a series of meetings and brainstorming sessions and some surveys, and then we were going to analyze all that. And the plan was to use this process to find God's will for our missions vision, what we should do with missions. And another thing that you should know about me is that I'm an accountant. I'm a CPA with my business degree from WSU Vancouver, and my family can tell you I love a good plan, especially when there's a PowerPoint presentation and a meeting to talk about the plan. That's how my daughter got her cell phone. You can ask her about that later. So this is how I get things done. So I should, this process should really make a lot of sense to me, except it didn't. It didn't make sense. I'm sitting in the meeting, and I'm like, there's this nagging thought in the back of my mind, like, is this really how we find God's will? Like, is this really how we follow God? So after the meeting, we have a post-meeting meeting with our elders, and all the guys are hyped about the plan and the process and the consultants, and, you know, it gets all the way around, and it gets to me, and they're like, hey, what do you think? Like, you ready to move forward with this, da-da-da? And I'm like, I don't know, guys. Like, it just, something doesn't seem right. Like, it just, is this really how we find God's will? Is like, do we do meetings and surveys? Like, it just doesn't seem like that's the way to find God's will. Like, if we're trying to find God's will, shouldn't we be, like, fasting and praying or something? And when I said that, the elders were like, yeah, we should probably do that first. And in the span of, like, 2 minutes, it went from, like, again, everyone being hyped about the plan to everyone unanimously deciding, like, we're going to put this whole thing on hold. And we are going, like, the pastor's pulling out his calendar, and we're, like, picking dates for faith, fasting and prayer. And, that was fast. So, I got to be honest. I wasn't actually suggesting that we fast. Like, I had not done that before, and I like food. And I wasn't really looking forward to the idea of, like, not eating. I would have much rather, like, just had a bunch of meetings with donuts, preferably. I only was saying that to just, like, I said fasting because I was just trying to, like, process out loud, like, why I wasn't feeling it. Like, it just seemed like something a Bible person would do. So, anyways, it was too late then. I was committed. So, first day, I get up. I get ready for work. I go to work. Everything normal, except I don't eat breakfast. And then I don't eat lunch. And then I don't eat dinner. And instead, every time I thought about food, I would pray. Every time I was hungry, I prayed. So in summary, I prayed a lot that day. And, you know, is that how I was supposed to do it? I don't know. I just, I read some extra Bible. I was trying to be quiet, you know, and listen. But I just, you know, I didn't hear anything that first day. Or the next date. I can't remember how many days it was. It was like 6 or 7 days that they had picked over the course of like a 2-month period. Must have been 7 because that's like the holy number. The worst of it was one of the days was on a camping trip for me. Yeah, so thank you. Some people must be like me, because for me, if you're going camping, like, food is a very important attribute of camping, the camping experience. You know, it's just not the same to do like hot dogs and s'mores and then like not eat them. So in any case, my wonderful wife had brought all sorts of delicious food to this camping trip, and she was very gracious to me. She offered, like, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't cook dinner. I'm like, look, darling, you shouldn't have to suffer for my dumb idea. And I just kind of like went away from away so I could not smell the delicious smells. And yeah, I read a bunch of Bible that day. It was like 30 chapters in Isaiah. I prayed so much. And you know, interestingly, the first few days that I was doing the prayer and fasting, I noticed that like my thoughts would intrude on my prayers. I'm praying, but then I just, you know, I start thinking about it and like puzzling it out in my mind. But by the time the camping trip rolled around, yeah, I was done with all that. I was very aware that I had no idea what our mission's vision should be. I was maybe for the first time, like, I really wanted to hear what God had to say. More than ever before, I wanted to hear God speak. I wanted his idea and not mine. I didn't even have any fancy prayers left. I was just like, God, give us a mission vision. God, give us a mission vision. And you know what happened? He did. So I was fervently praying. All of a sudden, I saw it. Like, and I'm here to tell you, sorry, I'm getting choked up because it was a spiritual experience. Even though I was really hungry. I'm here to tell you, fasting and praying, it works. And we at Laurelwood, we have a missions vision that has guided all the decisions at our church about missionaries for all the time since. And it has brought glory to God in some very cool, some very unexpected ways for us. But that's not really the topic today. I'm not here to talk about, you know, vision for missions. I'm here to talk about the process, which is the choice to fast and pray. Because when you've got a problem, you have a choice about how you want to solve it, right? How do you solve problems in your life? You know, where do you go for wisdom? Like, how do you get things done? I mean, seriously, what do you do? Because me, I often will try to solve my problems without turning to God. All too often, I'm trying to figure it out myself. I'm trying to work on it myself, fix things myself. I've got a whole internet telling me how to do things and what I should think and feel and do, which is too bad because I really should be turning to God more often, much quicker. So I'm just going to simplify this for us this morning. How do you solve problems? You can choose to rely on yourself, or you can choose to rely on God. So for anyone taking notes, this is the key question for today. How do you solve problems? Okay, and here's the answer from God, from his word, from Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. So how did you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? When I received Christ Jesus as my Lord, it was me saying, God, I can't do this. I need you. Okay? My sins aren't forgiven because of like my good works. They're forgiven because of God's good work that he did on the cross to pay the price of atonement for me. Okay, I'm not adopted in God's family because of like my meetings and a cool PowerPoint presentation or my plans. Like, it was God's plan and his will, right? Like, it's about him. It's not about me. Relying on ourselves is not how we got saved, and in the same way, that's not how we're supposed to live the Christian life, right? I'm rooted in Christ. Okay? I'm built up in Christ. I produce fruit for Christ by abiding in Christ. With Christ, I can do all things. And without Christ, I can do nothing. And don't take my word for it. Here's what Jesus says. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay. So that leaves us with this strange challenge we got to figure out as Christians. We're called on an epic quest to accomplish this masterpiece of good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do in this life. According to Jesus, it's worth giving up everything to do this. We got to be a living sacrifice, right? We got to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run this race that's marked out for us. We got to sacrifice and struggle and strive. And yet we can't do anything in ourselves. We've got to do all that stuff and work hard by relying on God. Huh. Here's how Paul says it. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Did you catch that? Paul's got an epic quest from Jesus, and he is trying to accomplish that. He is working hard. We all know how hard Paul worked, how many hardships he overcame. He is strenuously contending with Christ's energy, not his own. Christ is the head. He's the wisdom. He's the power. There's no magic in the Christian life. There's just a relationship with Almighty God. Okay? Christ can do anything, and he does. So what's my strenuous work? What's the strenuous work that I've got to do? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. I mean, my work is faith, because faith is work. Now, I'm not trying to make some kind of like deep theological thing here, so don't take it like that. Like, I'm just telling you how life is like for me, okay? Like, this is my Christian experience, is that faith is a hard thing. It's hard work for me. Like, fasting is hard work, at least for this guy who loves food, okay? I have to lose myself. I got to sacrifice myself to put my faith in God. I've got to strenuously contend with the world, the flesh, and the devil to rely on God. It takes a lot of effort for me to like stop paying attention to my phone and pay more attention to the King of the universe, strangely. It's just so easy and natural to rely on myself and just do things my way and achieve my goals and pay attention to me and grow a bunch of weeds in my garden, even though it doesn't really work out so well for me. But it's hard work to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. I need him every hour. Hard work to keep my hand to the plow. And that's why I'd say fasting is truly about. Yeah, fasting is like not eating food for God. But I think the real thing here is fasting is that choice to seriously rely on God. Okay? So that's a quick picture of what fasting is. But I want to keep going with this, talk about why we should fast, because it still seems kind of strange, right? Like, why fasting as a way to be serious? Food's good. Money's fine, too, and personality and skills and, those are all everything else. Those are good gifts. The internet's fine, and there's nothing inherently bad with your phone or social media or TV or something, but is that how we live the Christian life? By, turning to those things when we're in need? Like, is that really where we get our wisdom, is, by following those things? Is that really where we get our power, our energy, our endurance, our life, is by using those things, by being engrossed with those things, by paying attention to those things? The obvious answer is no. What does God say? This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And so we hear God's word to us. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Yeah, that's fine. Like, that's basically the way I feel anytime I have to think about fasting too. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. What's an idol? Something that's not God that we put in place of God, right? It's something that we trust, that we follow, that we pay attention to, that we listen to it, we obey it. It's in ourselves, in our own creation, instead of God. And in contrast, what's fasting? It's the polar opposite. It's laying down. Laying down my strength. Ugh. Laying down my strength and asking God to act. It's laying down my wisdom and asking God to speak to me. Okay? This is not what the world would ask me to do. In fact, in the world's eyes, I'm doing literally nothing. In fact, in the world's eyes, I'm doing less than nothing. I'm literally weakening myself, okay? I'm weakening myself, but what do you think God has to say about that? I remember, I don't know if this works from down here. My grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. My work is to pay closer attention to God. My work is to pay more attention to God. And being weak reminds me that I need to rely on God. Being weak is how I stick close to God instead of running out on my own. Being weak is how I get out of the way and people get to see God instead of me. Being weak is how God gets the glory. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Because see, when I commune with the Almighty God, I don't need to be strong. I don't need any of my strength. When God is acting, I don't need to do anything. When God is speaking, I don't need my wisdom. When I have Christ's energy powerfully working in me, I don't need my own energy. So, got to get up so it's not too awkward for y'all. But in all seriousness, I hope you're seeing how fasting is a picture, a reflection of our beliefs, right? So let me give you four specific, practical reasons why fasting helps me to seriously depend on God. This isn't teaching from the Bible. This is just my experience. This is my testimony to you about how fasting has helped me, so you can kind of take it or leave it as you will. But number one, fasting creates a commitment, right? It's a gut check for me, like literally, about how serious am I about this topic, about this thing. How much do I really care? It's really easy for me to say like, oh yeah, I'll think about that. Yeah, I will pray about that. You know what's not easy? To say I'll fast for that because I really don't want to. It's not easy. It creates a commitment. Number two, fasting creates a focus, right? Fasting gets my eyes off of myself and onto God. It gets my eyes off of the world's ways and onto dependency on God. It's not like God gets like some type of power boost like when I'm hungry. Okay, it's really more about me. God doesn't need me to skip a meal. He's almighty all the time. But sometimes I need to do that for myself. I need to remember that this body is not where it's at. I need to remember that comfort is not my goal. It's like no big deal, right? I need to remember that my effort, my strength is not what I should be focused on. Fasting creates a focus on God because I'm choosing to lay myself down. Number three, fasting creates a constant reminder. So How many people have said like, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, or you intended to, spend some serious time like praying or Bible study, or, you know, seeking God, and then you forgot to do it? Yeah, I mean, I won't have you raise your hands to say join the club, right? But if you skip meals, you will remember. I guarantee it. Number four, fasting creates a sacrifice. It's an extra level of devotion. It's not a fellowship offering. It's a whole burnt offering. We can show how much we care. We can show how much it's worth to us. So if there is something that's really important to you and you don't want to forget to spend quality and quantity time seeking God about it, then my testimony to you is that fasting will help you commit and focus on that, and it will be a reminder, and it will be a meaningful sacrifice. So that's the what and the why, and now we want to talk about the when. When should you fast? Okay, so remember, we got that choice. How do we solve problems? We can rely on ourselves. We can rely on God. We're here in church this morning, so what's the right answer? When should we rely on God? All the time, right? Yeah, all the time we should be relying on God. Prayer, let me get to the verse before I just start talking about it. It's a short one, so it's easy to skip. Pray continually. See, the Bible says we should be relying on God all the time. And who said memorizing scripture was hard? Okay, prayer is our constant communication with God. He's already here, so we might as well include him in the conversation, right? God's word is our constant meditation. We should be always thinking about it, morning and night. Worship, thanksgiving, that's our constant response to God. Whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We gather regularly. We serve regularly. We forgive everything. But I don't see any of those verses about fasting. No fasting, fast on all occasions, fast continually, do everything with fasting. Thank God I don't see those verses, okay? Because you kind of can't if you're talking about eating food. So when should we be fasting? I would say fast when you're choosing to seriously rely on God, okay? I say seriously because fasting is not one of those normal, regular ways that we depend on God, like prayer and Bible and fellowship and worship. That's the stuff we should be doing all the time. Fasting is an extra special sacrifice for those times when you are extra special relying on God. Okay, we are supposed to be a living sacrifice, right? But, there's Old Testament here, but there's fellowship offerings and there's whole burnt offerings. Right, fellowship offering, you go, you bring your good sacrifice, your acceptable sacrifice to the temple, you do the thing, and the thing is, with a fellowship offering, only a small portion of it is actually burnt up. Like, you eat and share most of the barbecue yourself. With a whole burnt offering, on the other hand, you burn it all up, and nobody gets anything. Okay, and I think that there is a parallel here with our spiritual disciplines. I mean, it should be the norm for us. Every day, morning, noon, night, every week, every month, every occasion, every festival, every year, we should be bringing our good, acceptable sacrifices to God, and we should be living our regular life in his presence, okay? Most of the time, that sacrifice, again, it's just a small portion of something regular, and we're just living out a regular life in God's name. For his glory. But sometimes our sacrifice is to give the whole thing. And to me, I just see fasting as one of those special occasions where I'm wholly devoting something to God. So let me just share a few examples from my life on, what are those types of occasions or what they've looked like for me. First of all, when our church was having something big going on and our pastor asked us to fast and pray, then I did. I shared the story of the first time I did that. It was not the last time that I fasted for Laurelwood, and I'm sure that I will be fasting again in the future when something big happens. when my wife was a new Christian. She felt like she didn't really know the Bible very well, and so she fasted for 3 days while she focused on reading the Bible. My friend's daughter was suicidal, and so he asked me, can we fast and pray together? And I did. He was my friend, and it was his daughter. Someone close to me had gotten on drugs and just wrecked their life. They just wrecked it. And they wanted to give up and kill themselves. And so we fasted and prayed. We prayed and fasted. Hey, give me a minute here. This is not part of the sermon, but I just got to say it. Like, don't do drugs. Don't get drunk. You know, we all know the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, right? And it's like, we're already dumb enough, right? We're already tempted enough. Like, there's no need to remove your brain from the equation here. Our enemy, the devil, he's a roaring lion, and he is seeking someone to devour. So just another reminder, like, don't get into that kind of stuff. Because, you know, the devil, he's not like, ha-ha, you know, just messing around. Like, he is out to cripple you. He is out to hurt you as bad as he can. So don't give the devil a free shot at you. And when someone you know has gotten their life wrecked or ruined, or if they're on that path that leads to destruction, you know, maybe that's a time that you would fast and pray for them. And I'm here to tell you, fasting and praying, it works because God. So that's some examples for me. But how about you? When would you fast? Probably not today. But I think there are going to be times in your life where something extra special serious is going down, and you need to respond to that, whether it's big problems, whether it's big opportunities. Maybe it's a big uncertainty for you, for your church, maybe for the people that you're here on earth to love. Don't you think there's going to be those kind of times? Jesus seems to think so. I don't see him telling us to fast regularly, but I do notice that he says when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. So it just seems like this is something he expects is going to pop up for us. So back to our question, when would you fast? What's serious enough for you to fast for? And if you can't imagine like anything in your life that's worth fasting for, then maybe you need to pray and fast about getting more of Christ's mind and his heart and his eyes. Because I hope there's things in your life that you can recognize. They're extra special, serious, and they're worth fasting for. I hope next time Hawkinson Community Church has something really big and you're like, yeah, this is worth spending a bunch of money on and a bunch of time and meetings and everything. I hope that you can seek God's will like a Bible person by fasting and praying first. And I hope there's people in your life that you love enough where fasting is a sacrifice that you would just gladly take. If I'm honest with you, I should care more about more people and more things. I think that would drive me to being more serious with God about a lot more often. And I think if I had more of Christ's heart and his mind and his eyes, I probably would be fasting more often than I currently do. Now that's a thought to meditate on. Speaking of which, there's a lot more to say about fasting than we've just talked about. For example, you see fasting in the Bible in connection to repentance and mourning. You see fasting by communities as they are seeking to together humble themselves towards God or to seek God's face. You know, is fasting, is it just about food? Could you like fast from like your phone or TV or social media? I'm hearing some murmurs. Like maybe you know someone, you're like thinking of someone, you're like, yeah, I'll bet if that person fasted from Xbox, like that would probably be a bigger sacrifice for them than not eating food, okay? you know, that could be a thing. Because if we're thinking of fasting in maybe a broader sense of like, I'm going to sacrifice something that is not inherently bad or sinful, but it's something that maybe, you know, maybe it's distracting. You know, maybe it's just in the way. Maybe it's taking up a lot of my time. You know, maybe it's getting in front of God or it's being a distraction. You know, then that's a form of fasting that we could practice pretty regularly. Maybe even, oops, I need to go this way for the mic. Maybe even a picture of Sabbath. Right? Maybe it's like on that same continuum as choosing to abstain from certain things. You know, maybe it's an aspect of throwing off all that hinders so that we can run this race. That's marked out for us. But hey, I agreed on half an hour, so I'm just going to leave all those other ideas, all those other connections, and pictures of fasting for y'all to talk about over lunch or dinner. Because time to wrap this up. If you remember nothing else, then remember that question. How are you going to solve problems in your life? And please remember the answer is for Christians, we live our Christian life the same way that we receive Christ Jesus as Lord, by turning to God and not to idols. Okay, and that's the what and the why and the when about when you fast. Because in this race marked out for us, there's going to be times when you encounter situations that are extra special. And so we need to be ready to make that extra special sacrifice to overcome those things. So please be ready to make whatever sacrifice you need so that you can seriously rely on God. All right, so let's pray. God, we thank you for forgiving us and adopting us into your family. God, we thank you that you are coming again to reform this world for justice, for saving us, God, to renew all things. Thank you, God. We're so looking forward to that when you will rule and reign and make everything right. Come, Lord Jesus. And God, help us in the meantime. Lord, we need you. We need you every hour. We want to say that today is that we need you. Admit that, Lord. Please, God, would you just come and help us clear out the weeds in our life. Lord, the cares of this world and deceitfulness of wealth. Lord, please help us to grow deep roots so that when those trials and temptations come, Lord, that we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. God, please help us to lean on you, not on our own understanding, and that in all our ways we could acknowledge you and just walk with you on those straight paths. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.